Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and it is your go-to podcast for insightful conversation on the mental wellness and the personal growth. So today we have a very special guest joining us, Kara Regas. So welcome to the show, Kara.
Thanks, Avik. I'm happy to be here.
Lovely. So Kara, like before we start our conversation today, because today's topic is very great, where we'll be talking about empowerment through the boundaries, where also how to overcome the people-pleasing attitude, which is a great topic. But before we do that, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Kara is not just a certified life coach, but she's a beacon of empowerment for those who are struggling with people-pleasing and perfectionist or perfectionistic tendencies. Yes. So through her work, she helps individuals break free from the cycle of stress and worry by rewiring the mental habits that keep them feeling stuck at one place. So with this deep understanding of how our thoughts shape our reality, she guides her clients towards recognizing where they are neglecting their own needs, or I would say holding themselves to unrealistic standards. So like this. So by fostering the self-awareness and nurturing the healthy boundaries, she empowers her clients to reclaim their energy and pursue their goals with their renewed vigor. So why to wait? Let's join us as she shares her personal journey of overcoming the adversity and embracing the self-worth, and learn the valuable insights on setting the boundaries and prioritizing the self-care. So it's time to embark on a journey of the self-discovery and empowerment with one and only Kara. Welcome to the show again, Kara.
Thank you. And thank you for the summary. It was lovely.
Thank you. So Kara, to start with, like, if you can share with us a bit about your personal journey, like with people pleasing and how it led you to work you are doing today right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my personal journey with people pleasing started, as with most people's, in childhood. I was encouraged to do these kinds of behaviors, right? To take care of everyone else first, to think about what's most important for other people, to be something like a martyr or a saint. This behavior in my family was generally encouraged as positive, which is not an uncommon story at all. My family isn't special in this way, really. Especially being a woman in the United States, that's even, you know, another layer on top of that. You know, being female in a lot of cultures and being a people pleaser is actually one and the same. So it's not an uncommon story. That's where it all started for me. And then it came to a head when I recognized as an adult, especially as a parent, how it was playing out in my own relationships. I was starting to be really tired all the time. I was burning out. I was angry at everyone all the time. I was mad that other people weren't meeting my needs, ironically. But the problem there was that I didn't know what I needed and I didn't know how to ask for what I needed because, as a people pleaser, we're taught that we're not supposed to have our own needs. So therefore, we can't express them. Therefore, we can't get them met. So in a nutshell, that is how it happened for me. I think, again, my story will resonate with a lot of people. It's usually the way that it goes. And then how it came into my work, I recognized when I wanted to start coaching myself, I had already been working with my own coach. And I recognized that it was a good path for me as well, because as a people pleaser, I have a high amount of empathy naturally. I'm able to understand people and offer them compassion easily. So as a profession, it fits very well. It's also a great profession if you want to learn how to balance your boundaries, because you have to if you want to survive. So then I ended up specializing in it as a coach when I realized that that was what I knew best. That was also where I see or where I saw and see a lot of people in the world needing help. I call it a silent epidemic, in fact.
Wow, that's really lovely, I'd say. So with this, like, have you found or are there any some common signs or the behaviors that indicate someone may be struggling with the people pleasing attitudes or the tendencies? Any signs?
Yeah, I'm just jotting this down because sometimes when I answer questions, I go another direction and then I'm not sure if I've answered the question. So in order to answer this question, I think first it's good that we just define in black and white terms when we say people pleasing, what do we mean? And I think for a lot of your audience, these characteristics are not even going to be seen as negative. But in general, a people pleaser is somebody who thinks of other people before themselves. They are always oriented toward what other people need and what other people are wanting at any moment, so much so that they're really good at anticipating other people's needs, sometimes before they even recognize that they're having a need. I still do this sometimes, and I have to catch myself, slow down. So this is what it looks like, right? But the behaviors that go along with it, and most importantly, the signs that it's happening and specifically that it's becoming a problem for you are a little bit what I already mentioned that happened with me. You might start to notice that you're always resenting other people for maybe not noticing everything that you do, not appreciating you enough, not doing enough of the work themselves. There might be some anger coming up. Also, you might be feeling really tired, like you're just somebody asks you for something and you just feel like you can never say no. Or sometimes you feel even a compulsion to help other people when they haven't even asked you, right? So these are signs that people pleasing is coming up and that it's coming up in a way that some people might say is toxic, although I would say that people pleasing in general is not a healthy habit. But I understand that for many of us, we don't see it in a negative way at first.
So you mentioned about the negative part as well. So how do you distinguish between the healthy compromise and maybe overextending oneself to please others?
Yeah, it's an important question. Thank you for asking. So I danced around it a little bit. We're asking here, what is the inflection point? What is the moment where it tips from being kind, for example? And what I would say here is if it feels like you don't have any other choice than to constantly give, it's tipping. If it feels like if you don't give all the time, that you're bad, that you will be seen as not nice or unkind or selfish, now you know it's tipping, right? Because here's the thing, we talk about when we're a people pleaser, how important it is to be kind, how important it is to give to other people. But we're never being kind to ourselves and we're never giving to ourselves when we're being a people pleaser because there's simply no time for that. There's no space. There's no positive feeling for ourselves, only for others. The only sense that we have as a people pleaser that we are okay is if we get the feedback from other people that we're okay. And that's why we do it so much, right? But answering your question, the tipping point is, as I said, it's if it's going into this, I can't stop, it defines me as a person, then we know that it's problematic for you.
Okay, got it. So, understood. So if you could also walk us through the process of identifying and communicating the boundaries effectively, how to do that.
The process of identifying, can you say more what you mean by that process?
What to say? In any strategy or any process, so suppose we know that person is doing overextending or doing something which is not required. And we want that person to highlight, make the person understand that you are doing this, which is not required, or maybe as per the situation. So how will identify those people? Because there will be few listeners or there will be people will not be able to identify or will not able to gaze like, okay, this is the person who need actually help, who need like guidance. Mm-hmm. So how to do that?
So how do I identify who needs help? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, this is a tricky thing because, you know, as I've been alluding to throughout this conversation, a lot of us don't see this as a negative attribute. And for me, it's really obvious when people are overgiving, and a lot of people like this don't have a lot of, for example, introspection. That's one of the ways that I know. They're focused a lot, for example, on their kids or on particular elements of their lives or their family or their friends, you know, but never themselves. If I were to ask somebody like this, you know, what, for example, what they think about a certain thing, how they've been feeling, they might give me a blank stare or try to change the subject or talk about someone else. Okay. So this is one of the ways that we can say we know it's going on, right? So that's how I'm able to identify. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in any practical strategies are there, or any listed things are there for an individual who can use it to start setting that healthy boundaries in their personal and the professional lives? So anything you want to suggest or anything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, oh, sorry, I think you're frozen.
Yeah.
We lost the connection for a minute, but it seems okay now.
Yeah.
So maybe a good thing to highlight now before we go into like what to do is understanding why boundaries are the solution to people pleasing. Because when we're a people pleaser, we think about other people kind of as an extension of ourselves. Mm. There's too much, the clinical term here is enmeshment. Like we identify or we define ourselves based on how other people see us and what we can do for them, as opposed to just, you know, a sort of internal cycle. So one of the things that we have to think about is always boundaries, and boundaries are separating me and what happens in my life from other people and what happens in their lives. Not taking on responsibility for other people in terms of what happens to them, but also how they're feeling, right? So boundaries are not just like things in the physical world, they're also mental and emotional. So if I want to talk about, for example, an emotional boundary, it could be, if my daughter gets a bad grade on her test and she's upset, it's not her feeling of being upset is not my responsibility. It's not my job to fix her feeling, right? Whereas, maybe in the past I might have felt that way. Right. And that's just one example. And I think it's a really common thing to assume responsibility for other people's feelings, and that's heavy, and that doesn't give you any space to think about your own, right? So that's the whole reason why boundaries are important. another example of a boundary in the physical world might be around people's access to you and your time. So those of us who are people pleasers, we have this sense of we need to make sure that we're available to everyone all the time because our help is needed. We're valuable, right? And it means that we're constantly overextended. We never say no. We always allow our schedule to be open to everyone else. So a boundary there would be telling someone, for example, if you go to their house for dinner, you say, I can stay until this time and then I have to go. Not leaving it open-ended. That's just one example. Right. So boundaries are the solution to people pleasing. That's why I talk about them. And usually people pleasers have very flimsy or porous boundaries. And when we learn how to set them, it can take some time to figure out actually what that is going to look like, because it's so completely alien. Like, where do I even start? And a lot of times people think it just means saying no very firmly. And usually we overdo it when we're starting because it's so foreign. So it takes some time. But if you don't mind me continuing, I can answer your question now about what the steps are. The steps are in the boundary setting process. The first thing is just to recognize in the areas that you just don't have, right? Because it probably feels really natural when you get to this point, when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm stressed, I'm burned out, I'm overextended, I'm mad at everybody, there's something wrong. You realize, oh, okay, this feels natural, and this feels natural, and this feels natural. And me as the coach, I'm the one saying, but there's a choice there that you don't see. So for example, if somebody says, it feels natural to me that I would be available to answer the phone at 10:30 at night when my mother calls, right? Because I always make myself available to her. You know, it's my job to step in and say, maybe, maybe not, but there's a choice there. Whereas those of us with people-pleasing tendencies, we assume that there is no choice. I have to pick up the phone. Right. So an example of a boundary there would be kindly and respectfully letting her know that you turn off your phone at 9:30 every night, for example, so that you have time to wind up before you go to bed. Right. Obviously, very situationally independent. Obviously, culturally, there's a lot of different things going on here. Right. So we always have to be mindful, especially of the cultural differences here. But that's the first step, is recognizing where those points are in your life that you just assume that you have to, and just taking a step back and looking and saying, what can I do here? What needs to change, right? And then after that, it's just about asking yourself, what is the little change that I can make? And here's the thing. Deciding to set a boundary is one thing. Setting a boundary one time is one thing. Following through every time somebody tries to break that boundary is a whole different thing. And that's the real tricky part. That's those of us who are parents, we learn this, that kids' jobs are to press on us, right? To press our buttons, to push, 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 push. They're constantly checking to see if you're going to continue to be consistent and give the same answer that you gave last time. Right? So kids are great practice for learning how to have clear, strong, secure boundaries. But kids aren't the only people who test us. So that's the other thing. It's not about, yes, you have to identify that this is going on. Yes, you have to figure out what needs to change. But the real work is being consistent and following through again and again. And you will not succeed the first time. You'll make mistakes. That's a given. Exactly. It's just about trying again. So that was a long monologue for you to fill in some details. I hope that helped.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And also one more thing. When we're talking about people pleasing, where we all know, like, people pleasing, it's a kind of behavior developed by people itself. So we are talking about when it extends above the limit, or more efforts needs to be given to achieve something and all. So these things we have learned, but also on the other side, which is very different, correct me if I'm going wrong. So when we say people pleasing also, but for that person who is into people pleasing or who is trying to give excessive efforts to gain some approval or whatever it is, so is it some way somehow good for that person, or it's totally something which is negative? How will you justify it? I mean, there will be situations where we take it like, okay, giving more efforts maybe can give a gain to that person, or maybe giving more efforts will definitely harm that person. So how will you justify this?
Yeah, so again, you're trying to understand where is the line, right? I think it comes down to how is this affecting the person who is demonstrating the behaviors, and where are the behaviors coming from? If they're coming from behaviors here, meaning helping behaviors. So if they're coming from a genuine desire to help that is not connected to how the helper feels about themselves, then we could say that they're giving in a way that's not hurting themselves, right? If the giving is not compulsive, then maybe there isn't an issue there, right? That's how we know. And it's good to ask that question for sure. The problem is, though, is that from what I see, especially among women, that's very rare. When we see this overgiving, it's not coming from a place of a filled cup. It's not coming from a place of, I already have self-respect, that I already have boundaries, that I already know what I need and want. Very rarely. So obviously, I don't want to be absolutist. I don't want to say that it's 100% of the time. Well, here's what I can say. We just need to define our terms properly. We can be helpful and friendly while also being self-respecting and aware of one's needs and wants, or we can be people-pleasing, because my definition of people-pleasing is always negative, right? So this first category is not people-pleasing, right? It's self-respecting. It's maybe community-oriented, right? But it's still grounded in a healthy self-esteem, in a healthy self-worth, and in a, remember, internal system of self-worth. So they don't need the affirmation or the validation from helping. They're helping because they want to, not because they must. So that's not a people pleaser. A people pleaser, in my definition, we're talking about it within the confines of a definition, which is always negative, in contrast to what you could call, let's say, an intact helper. I don't know what to call it other than that. So it's important. I mean, maybe other people have different definitions of people pleasing. It's not a clinical term. This is just the way that I'm using it now for sake of communicating the ideas effectively.
Okay, understood. Great. So, before we wrap up, like, what advice do you offer to our listeners who are ready to start prioritizing their own needs and setting the boundaries for a healthier and more empowered life?
The advice I have is to remember that you are actually worth it. I know that sounds really cheesy and corny to say, but that is the core belief underneath, is that other people are worth more than I am. And that's not true. If they can, why not me too? If they can have, all of these things from other people, why can't I also receive too? There's actually no difference between you and other people as far as how much you deserve to receive from others. And it doesn't make you selfish. That's what I would say, is the advice is to start with that understanding. Try to take that in. It's probably really difficult. Try to take that
Lovely. That's really lovely. Great. So, thank you so much, Kara, for joining. And,
in.
dear listeners, like, we have explored today the powerful journey of empowerment through boundary setting and overcoming the people-pleasing tendencies. So, we have learned the valuable insights from Kara on recognizing the signs, establishing the healthy boundaries, and also reclaiming the control over our lives. So, with this, definitely always remember that self-awareness and self-care are the key to fostering the authentic connections and living with the purpose. So, like as you embark on your own journey of the empowerment, you definitely may find the courage to honor your needs, assert your boundaries, and embrace the fulfilling life that you deserve. It's always beautiful. So stay tuned for more empowering discussions on healthy mind and healthy life. And before we move in, definitely I'll request Kara, like if anyone wants to connect with you and wants to have an understanding about setting up the boundaries and building those healthy boundaries, so how they can connect with you.
They can connect with me through my website. It's my name, karabigas.com. And actually on my website, there is a free resource. It's about setting boundaries. It's a basic guide. It takes you through step by step. So you can, it's actually a good place to start to check that out. So you can find me on my website and also on Instagram. I'm at Kara Regas. Same thing.
Okay. That's really great. Great. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining, and have a great day ahead. Thank you so much.